Centric Church. This is Jerry, and I will be scrambling here because my studio didn't work correctly. So I'm trying to reboot in. Anyway, we'll say a prayer here. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share in your work, and please guide us as you would have us do, as you have allowed us to guide your power and your influence. May your work be done to your glory, in Jesus' name. And we'll see what happens here. Well then, so I really have no idea what this is looking like, because I had to log out to try to accomplish anything. I had an experience today, until I can get some other people on the line. Nothing really major, but I really felt like this. I woke up and I really, as many of us, I think, are really on a high alert for his power and his calling us out. And and then later on today, he had me. He had me actually pray for our rapture-centric church and family. And what he wanted me to pray about was all of us, but in particular those who might be on the edge, who uncertain of something in their individual walk. I don't want to describe too much because I think it might be different for different people, but you know, the general idea was sort of on the edge of the walk with him and perhaps our group. And I know he gave me an image a while ago when we were doing a show and doing some prayer that he was drawing a net, and we as the net with the fish, and as we were the fish of our group, we had the freedom to swim in and out, and as he was drawing this net in, and then the other effect of drawing this net in was that we were getting closer and to each other by necessity, because as the net is drawn closed, it pulls all the fish together, and that process eventually leads to pulling us up to him. And so if you're on the edge, if you're uncertain about where you are in the net, if you have left something on the table with him, then please attend to it. It could be different for anybody. We definitely are rejoicing our position with him and thankful for it because he is coming very soon. We know this. He's told many people. He's made it very clear that that's our mindset. The rapture's today. Believe and be happy. But we've also been getting so many messages of urgency along those lines. If anybody has a word or anything that they could post in chat, I can read that while I'm trying to jockey things around. At least I think I'll be able to in just a minute. And he's coming soon, as we've discussed. We know that these days leading up to this time, in particular the 27th and the 28th, yesterday he led me to the understanding that in a way, you could say that the 28th is the Pentecost of the June 8th Pentecost, the 50th day, and that day is the birthday of the church, original Pentecost, and as a birthday, we know that. We celebrate Christ's birthday on Christmas Day, but Carol and a few others, I think, have had the general impression of Christmas in July. I know there have been some experiences that were really confirming along those lines for different people. A couple of different people have seen images, and of course, those things are out. But the very next day, from when discussing that, I know Judy took a trip and went to water park. She saw a sign that said that, which she'd never seen before. And so he's really that message upon us. And so Christmas in July and Pentecost, perhaps the birthday of the church of the church, if you will, not making any claims for us, but simply seeing that what he led me to see as in a vision as we awoke in the middle of the night, or I woke in the middle of the night, about the calendar flipping and sevens and being each week being a set of 7 days. And then that eventually being seven sevens, which is 49 days plus a 50th day to make it a Pentecost, a 50th time frame from June 8th to from June 8th to July 28th. And then Jason had a word. He was led to a scripture, 1 Samuel 20, verse 18, about David and Jonathan, when David was going to have to miss the New Moon Festival at a meal. And this is not encouraging. See what's happening. I don't know what's going on here. And I finally had a problem yesterday, and now I'm having the same basic problem today. So Jason had a was led to that scripture, and when I looked it up, I read the next verse and dug the name of the rock. They were talking about meeting at a particular rock, and the name of that rock was Azer, which means the rock of departure. And the particular day that they were going to meet at that rock was the day after the New Moon Festival. And the day after the New Moon officially is July 28th coming up. So we have a lot of things that are pointing us in that direction. And we'll have to see what that leads us to. I was also led to pray for a couple of particular celebrities, not politicians, today, and I've done that. But he really wanted, so consider your own prayers for our church and our group, our rapture-centric family, and how he may lead you along those lines. And we'll see if I can get these things. But right now I can't even play a song because I can't get back into the studio. Isn't this fun? So anyway, funny because really he didn't give me anything in particular to talk about today. So he must want me to just talk about whatever's on my brain, which is unfortunate. If you have your Bibles handy, I had a verse that is a rapture verse, and it is significant to our time, I believe. It's in Micah chapter 7, and let me see if I can. And if the wording is different from one translation to the next, but I believe the NIV captures the spirit of it, frankly, a little better than the KJV. It's Micah chapter 7, verse 2. Now, the context of Micah here and the rest of chapter 7 is essentially condemnation and judgment, God speaking of pouring out judgment on Israel and also the enemies of Israel. And basically, the entire chapter 7, which is the last chapter of Micah, is about judgment. But there's this one interesting verse, chapter 7, verse 2, I'll read 1 and 2. What misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The faithful have, this is verse 2, the faithful have been swept from the land. Not one upright person remains. Everyone lies in wait to shed blood. They hunt each other with nets. Okay, so imagine a time when there are no faithful to God left. There are no people who are upright or righteous. And upright can also mean basically law-abiding. So what does that time make you think of? After this verse, everything is the judgment of God and evil doings in the world. So to me, that speaks as a rapture verse when all of the faithful, all of those who are the salt, all of those keepers of God's word have been swept from the land. There are no more left. The end result, of course, is that there's only people left who will hunt each other with nets or what have you, and not behave faithfully or honestly. So that's not a pretty world. That's a world that it appears that we're heading towards. And I really think, particularly as our eyes are on Israel, that and the goings on in the Middle East, certainly when they recognize that the people who are faithful to God's love of the land and the people, regardless of their faults or failings, which we all have, when those people are gone, they will realize that they have been left without any ally in the world, and that it will be no time at all for the world powers to unite against them and come against them, which will happen. I believe that will lead to them taking much more drastic action than they've taken up to this point, and we'll see widespread use of extremely powerful weapons that they are known to have at their disposal. When that happens, obviously the world will unite against them and lead to the other things that are prophesied in the future. Let me see here. I would love to put somebody else on. I cannot get into the studio, and I don't know why. Judy, if you can try to call in and bump me out, that would be great. I don't know anybody, really, because I'm not really in, actually. I can't turn anybody on. Somebody doesn't do something to start singing, and then that would just probably crash all of Blog Talk. I probably shouldn't do that. Let's see what happens here. Because it's very weird. The only page I can't get into is the studio. And it's like we're locked out of the studio. And it didn't work when I was in there anyway. So you can try. I will see what I can come up with here. I really didn't intend to speak on and on today. Let me look at one thing. I can tell you that as I have been searching the days of this week and led to see things that I have looked really as far out well into August, but in this week in particular, I still believe today is an incredibly high watch day. I believe that the next 2 days are as well. And for that matter, quite frankly, it's obvious that we should be looking through the 28th based on all of the messages that we've gotten from God. And now it's interesting that we've gotten all these messages in the world as well, but that seem to point us to the 28th. But we also are getting them from God, and almost without explanation, they seem to be pointing to the same time. How that can be, I do not know, but it seems to be the case. I'm going to be doing this for a long time, I think. But I will point out something else that I've looked at just for future consideration, really. You know, we know this time from Tzom Tammuz, which is the fast of Tammuz, which in our calendar this year was the 15th of July, to the 9th of Av, which begins on the 4th and is the 5th of August, is a time called Between the Straits. And it's interesting also that that meaning is essentially the meaning of the name of Egypt also. And whether all these things connect in some prophetic way, I'm not exactly sure, other than the fact that it's obvious they're biblical. But we do know that this time between the straits is a time of mourning. And then in particular, from the 1st of Av, which starts right after July 28th, to Av 9, which is the 4th and 5th of August, that it is a particular time of high mourning for Israel. And the 9th of Av is the time when the temple fell. The first and the second temple both fell on the 9th of Av. And we perceive from our leading, from our pastor, Jesus, that because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we are the third temple. And so the first and the second temple disappeared on the 9th of Av. And if we do get to the 9th of Av, it will be very interesting to see if, in fact, the third temple, the bodies of believers and those who have welcomed the Holy Spirit and let him work in their own lives, will also disappear on that day. The so if that's the case, then we've got this period of time to look at all the way through then. I think just try to log in, Judy, if you could. I will log out, but I've tried that a couple of times and it didn't cycle me through. So I'm wondering if somebody with a different IP address might have more luck. I just put myself the other way. But the other date that's interesting that is on very few calendars is actually what is called Tu B'Av, which means the 15th of Av. And the 15th of Av is an unusual day, and it's a day of celebration because after, Hebraically, after they're done with the mourning through the 9th of Av and mourning the temple, beginning at the end of that day, they can rejoice because their official period of mourning is over. And that leads to the 15th of Av, which is a minor holiday. And it is a festive one. And it is particularly favorable day in Hebraic tradition for weddings. And so that is a day on and off over the years that I have looked at as a day that's interesting for weddings because it's, first of all, Hebraically correct, if you will, but also this is just special. thank you, Todd, for trying. And let's see if maybe she can do it. I'll hold off on logging back in there and see if anybody has any luck. The let me bring that up real quick. I really didn't plan on making this about me. Okay, so I will read here a little bit from the Tu B'Av is a minor Jewish holiday in modern Israel celebrated as a holiday of love. It has been said to be a great day for weddings. It marks the beginning of the grape harvest, and Yom Kippur typically marked the end of the grape harvest. And the unmarried girls of Jerusalem dressed in white garments, which they borrowed, and went out to dance in the vineyards. That same section in the Talmud states that there are no holy days as happy for the Jews as Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is a day of mourning and reconciliation with God. But after they have accomplished that, after they have accomplished that, then they can rejoice because they've reconciled themselves to God. The specific instructions are that they are to, on Yom Kippur, mourn the misdeeds of their forefathers. And this is why I think Yom Kippur is so central to the Hebrew nation recognizing the wrong of the Messiah and not recognizing him when he came in the form of Jesus Christ. And I believe there will come a day when they recognize that, and I believe it will be associated with Yom Kippur. The other interesting thing about this holiday is it celebrated the wood offering brought to the temple, the Feast of Wood Bearing. Well, the people who are upright and just in God's eyes are considered trees. Trees are a metaphor for the righteous in God's word. And so this wood-bearing feast also indicates the possibility that this could be related to the bride, completion of the collection of the bride, or maybe a celebration after the bride has been collected. For example, you don't necessarily, although in Hebrew tradition, when the bride is transported by the groom, the wedding commences at that time when the bride is arrives at the party. So this whole time is so it is so packed with the elements of I'm laughing here because I keep trying and it won't let me, and I feel like God's doing this to me. So everybody laugh with me, please. This whole time is so packed with days that are and indications from him. And I have to say, you know, that Tu B'Av is the 11th of August. And then several weeks ago when he was talking to me about June 28th and June and Pentecost many weeks ago, he also, out of the blue, gave me a date of August, and quite frankly, 24th and 25th. But the one that was most obvious in there was the 25th. And the messages he gave, part of what he gave me for that date, he told me was for me to know and not to share. But clearly the other aspect of what he showed me was a video that I mentioned here. And the video was, I just happened to wave my cursor over it as I was watching a different video. And the only time I did that, and the very first time I did that that day, I noticed that right in the title of the video, the very first thing was the date. Hours later, in the same day of August 25th, and I don't remember the exact title of the video right now, but it was something about blowing the shofar and the rapture. Well, I don't know to this moment whether the rapture is related to that day or not, or whether he was giving a confirmation of the date that he gave me for some other purpose, and so I still do not know about that. But the, now I'm in the studio, people. Hold on just a second. I want to see if I can push a button, have anything work. We will try something. I'm in the studio. Let's see what we can do. Well, my original intention let's start the show with this song. Acts like it's playing. Tana, I think this is exactly what it... It acted like it was going to play, and then it didn't. Wow. Fascinating. Hold on just a second. It's probably going to really hate it when I do this. See what happens. I'm going to refresh. It wouldn't let me do that before. So, I've got myself off track. Anyway, I don't know what the August 25th date for sure is, and I also can't say for sure that it is about this year. It might be for next year. I believe, actually, next year, around the time of July and August, we're going to see the expected fall of the Babylonian system. And he has shown me that in a couple of ways. I don't know. I'm still playing with the studio here because it, and this must be exactly what happened to Tana yesterday, because it acts like it's going to play a song and then it stops. It just goes for a while and spins around. And so I know exactly what you're talking about yesterday, Tana. Totally get it. Okay, then. So August 25th is another time he got me pointed to, and quite frankly, I understood it as a bracket, and I believe in one context he meant this year. But so all of these days come together as days that we are expected to watch and pay attention to, and as we should every day anyway. But clearly, we have all these days. Oh, that's interesting. Sorry. We have all these days that are part of our station, and we are being given significant clues and meetings of times. I love Tana's comment. The last comment I saw, because I got myself bogged out of chat, was that this means we're going. So I hope you're right, because, you know, it would be super if we could go, like, really soon. And because it's so funny, usually I prepare things before the show to talk about if I'm going to host. And today I have these things that I was looking up, but you know, there's a little bit more about Tuba'av, which is kind of interesting, and it's reminiscent of things that we know are in Scripture but don't think about very much, I think. The same year, the last generation of the sin of the spies, which had been forbidden to enter the Promised Land, found that they were not destined to die. This is Tuba'av. Every Tish B'Av night, which is every Tish B'Av night, the Jews made graves for themselves in which they slept on Tish B'Av. Every year, a proportion of them died. And in the 40th year, the 15,000 who had remained from the first generation went to sleep in the graves and woke up the next day to their surprise. Thinking they made a mistake with what the date was, they did this until they reached Tuba'av. Only then, which is the 15th of Av, so from the 9th of Av to the 15th of Av, only then did they know that they were allowed to live and would be allowed to enter the Promised Land. So there's a period of time here of judgment, and also it's, this day is remembered because the people who made it to Tuba'av in this last, in the 40th year, knew that they were going to live and be allowed to enter the Promised Land. So that goes all the way to the 11th of August, and we are, and then in addition to 25th, which is just farther down the road. I wish I could tell you more about the 25th. I don't really know that much, and I don't know why he gave me that day, but what I do know is he gave me that day out of the blue and unexpectedly, and at the same time, or later that day, he confirmed it, you know, completely randomly by having me accidentally run my cursor over the title of a video, the only one that I did that to, and right away I saw that the date in that video was in fact the 25th of August, the previous year, by the way. So I don't know whether I don't know what that means. Okay, so now I don't have. Well, do one thing here. Maybe I can get myself back into chat, which might help if somebody has something in there that I could read. I know Pat was planning on reading a word, and but I can't get her on the phone because I've got the studio, but I don't see anybody online because it's not working properly. Let's see. Where am I? And hold on. Sorry, I don't know what else to do because it's not really telling me anything. Oh, yeah, he is. He's just laughing at me now. Thank you. There is no room for selfish pride in the kingdom, people. Set it aside and get in line because he doesn't want us to do that. Okay. I think Chris has a word up there. I'll read what she wrote anyway. The time is up. The waiting is over. My paradise awaits. Oh, my dear darlings who have woken up to seek me and desire me. I desire you, my fair ones, to the end of the age. Do not doubt. Do not fear. My presence will enfold you and evoke you. And, hey, I got an ad. How exciting. I got to catch back up here. Hold on. Okay, my peace will be your all in all. My banner is here over you, around you, under you. Your prayers have reached the heavens and have serenaded us to new heights of joy. Praise God. That's me saying praise God because that's very cool that we can give joy in heaven. Your gifts abound and wait you with eagerness. Come sing, relax. You are mine. And Judy says, amen, throw the burdens is right. Don't let anything stress you out, guys. We are going home. And he is coming. And I had, when I woke this morning, I really, really had just a feeling of presence that just It was a feeling that the reality that we're looking forward to was more my reality than the reality that I was in. I don't know how clear that is, but it was, you know, our future is becoming more and more real, and all of this stuff around us that is largely a make-believe world is way behind us, I believe, at this point. Let me try again to see if this will function. So what I got here. No. Okay. I'll be back to the chat here in a second. My daughter, I want to speak to you, all who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to my body. The end of all things is at hand. The door to eternity stands wide open. I have opened it, and no man can shut it. I have all power on earth, and I am, okay. So for those of you out there, if you don't prefer to hear me speak, I really apologize. And I am coming to pour out blessing or cursing as it is written. This comes now, except I shouldn't apologize for what the Lord's doing. So, or cursing as it is written. This comes now as promised of old, for I am from everlasting to everlasting. Can you comprehend this? You shall, my chosen, my jewels, my delight. Oh, what glory. Gird up the loins. Yes. And we do. And I missed Tressie's word on love. I don't know. Do you hear the hoofbeats of heaven and the rattling of armory? If you still your mind and quiet your soul, you can hear the heavenlies preparing for war. Which side are you found on? Tana, thank you, Tana. She says, I so feel your pain. You know what? I'm really not in pain. I'm sort of laughing about this because it could only be him. This could only be him. Katie did have a cool dream in the afternoon, and I guess it was this afternoon. She did some videos, and I hope she was going to call in. I was going to ask her about it. And I was going to play Rescue Me at the beginning of the show because I thought Katie would really appreciate that based on what her dream was. Oh, it was in the afternoon. Judy says she saw Jesus on a donkey and woke up to the hoof prints. I can't read that fast. Woke up to the hoof prints. She heard them. I don't think she made a vid yet. Cool. Okay, Katie's vid earlier today was about, okay, and then here's a video and I can, oh yeah, Magma Chamber, yes, Paul Bigley did a video from his live show last night, and his sort of insider friend Michael, from around the world they call him, said that magma is very definitely rising at Yellowstone, and it's an alarming thing. And because it messes with the animals' sort of internal compasses, it's what makes them stampede earlier this year, and it's why things are melting. Here's more word from Chris. I'm not sure where this came from, but your anger and frustration towards people who are lukewarm is me and you. Do not think you are being harsh and mean. I am sending my final warning through my people, and I will not have my people mocked or scoffed any longer. It is finished. Thank you for the encouragement. Katie, I heard donkey steps. This is Chris posting Katie's. I heard donkey steps while I was... Hold on. I should probably do better at this. I was awake right after I had a dream of Jesus coming in Jerusalem. So Katie was hearing audible sound effects when she was awake that matched the dream she had before she awoke. And Stacy says, I can hear it in my spirit, a lot of horsemen coming. More from Chris. I am the God Almighty. I am the great I am. My judgments are about to fall on this land. I have declared it. I have spoken. I am the Redeemer, Deliverer, Savior, Rescuer. I am God. Revere me. Respect me. Honor me. You are precious, loved, adored. It's really cool. Okay. Tressie, your word is in the comment in the video. I will try to look at that. I do have it still pulled up, and I will see what, I don't know if, oops. Oh, there it is. I was led to post one verse that is important for all. This is Tressie's word on that video from Paul Bagley. It's important for all who are watching and looking for the signs. Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And something very interesting right along those lines is also, and then this is a continuation of Chris's word, I'm not mixing everything up too much, the hoax of the man walking on the moon was July 21st and the weeks after. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I don't know about the science one way or the other there, but definitely we're in that time. And I can tell you, because of something that God took me through, not this past spring, but the spring before, he took me through an intensive course, a private one, of reading the signs in the heaven and in the heavens. And one of the things that became clear to me as he did that was that, in a sense, he uses the moon as the second hand. You know, where planet alignments and things can be in different constellations take a while. If he is going to mark an exact moment in the heavens, he'll do it with the position of the moon. So it's interesting that this moon landing is right now. And in fact, just before the show started, I was looking at the position of the moon as it travels through Gemini and towards Leo and Regulus over the next several days. Posted a video. Oh, there's King's video. Our king is coming on a donkey. Yay! That's the kind of king we want. He's done it before. It worked out great. I can't listen to the video, of course, but this is just hilarious. Love is the greatest weapon we have against the darkness. It cannot stand. This is from Chris. Therefore, put your lamp in the lampstand and let it shine bright, for no darkness can overtake it, can overtake a well-lit room, spiritually speaking, Tressie. So this is Chris posting Tressie's word. So it is so cool. I have heard, you know, I mentioned a few days ago that I have a chime on my phone that I use for when I get texts, and I had said that probably at least five times I have heard that chime go off in the middle of the night, and every time I was in a position to verify that, in fact, it was not my phone doing it. And so that happened again to me last night. So I'm not sure that I can say that it means anymore, but I can say that he's definitely giving me sound effects. And I know Katie's had several of them, and it's so cool that you get one that matches your dream, Katie, of Jesus coming on a donkey right after you wake up with that dream. That's just so cool. Yeah, exactly in timing. So awesome. And I love that Tressie's word does bring up love again, because remember, our God is love. He's many things. He's a complete God. But he opens his door of love to us, and we accept him. He loved us first, and therefore we know we can trust him. He loved us. He sacrificed himself for us, and it's that love that gives us the reassurance that we can trust him, and we go out in that trust. He asks us to operate in that trust. And that is the most powerful thing. It's the thing that Judy was told. It's the one thing we can take with us is love. You know, love is the foundation of all the things that stand righteously, because we're in sinful sacks of skin. We're born into them. We can't help it. And then we try to behave if we're following God. But, you know, we've all committed sins we're not even aware of, probably. And, you know, he's got those covered too. So when we ask him to cover our sins, he'll cover them all as long as we don't hold anything back. And that's what he really wants us to do, is lay everything at his feet and set aside our pride, every aspect of pride. You know, over the last, I don't know, several months, he's sort of been messaging me in my thought process over time. And every time I have been thinking over this over the last few months about the different motivations people have to behave in an ungodly way or against the will of God, he has caused me to see that when you dig beneath all of those layers of things that can be issues in people's lives, and you know, they hate God because of this or that, or they're mad at God, or somebody logged in. We will see what happens here. It tells me somebody logged in, so I am going to log out, and I'm going to try to follow the chat room. But that pride is at the root of all of these things. And you know, a sense of self is essentially equivalent to pride, you know, because when we hold something back to protect our emotional senses or even our physical condition, if you dig to the bottom, the very, very bottom of every motivation that man can have, it essentially comes down to pride and self. And it's not necessarily that you're deliberately being selfish or prideful, but, you know, sometimes meeting God where he wants to find us requires digging through that and recognize the portion of pride in us that is the underlying, sometimes hidden motivation. Anything that we might have, I'm sorry, just totally blanked my brain right then. Anything that we have in our lives, even if it's unintentional, we really have to try to dig through and find those things, because it may not look like, it may not look or seem like pride on the surface, and you may have to go, and it may be this one little element of yourself that's trying to protect itself against feeling foolish or being wrong, being incorrect. It could be a religious kind of mind frame where, you know, you don't want to say something or do something that's against God, but he's leading you there, and, you know, you're afraid to do it. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he's done many things with me. He's going to challenge you sometimes. If he wants you to grow, you will be challenged. And if you hold yourself back, then that's not trusting him. He's not going to ask you to do something that's against God. He's going to do something that challenges your faith, that challenges you to move farther towards him and away from what is comfortable, because he wants you to grow. This is a growing field where we're at right now. And, you know, this is like spiritual adolescence that we're all in. And we're trying to get through all our little emotional fits and our growth spurts. But he's also going to encourage us to grow. He's going to challenge us so that we can be more mature in the spirit when we move to him. We know the time in the world is short, very, very short. The days are going faster than is almost imaginable for many of us. But, you know, don't hesitate to challenge yourself. And if you feel like he's asking you to do something, you know, have you hesitated? Have you decided not to do it? Have you found an excuse to put it off? Because there's the parable, I'm totally not prepared for this, but there's the parable of the two sons. And the owner asked one son to do something, and the first son says, okay, Pop, I'll go, like, to go work in the field. And the first son says, okay, Pop, I'll go do it. And then he doesn't do it. And then he asks the second one, and the second one says, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. But later on, he changes his mind because he feels bad about telling his dad no, and he goes and works in the field. And the parable, as Jesus told it, was that which one did the will of the Father? And he says it was the first one. And what the first one did wasn't the work which the second one actually did do, but what the first one did was not hesitate to agree with the Father. And he was saying, your weaknesses may prevent you from following through, but when you get a word from the Father, are you compliant with it? Do you receive it gracefully? Do you try to act on it? Or do you reject it, try to find a way to get out of it? And this is a challenge, I think, for all of us all the time. You know, as we are challenged in our walk. But whatever those things might be in our individual lives, we know that there is some element of pride or self-interest which can get in the way of these things. So try to recognize that in yourself, and this is part of what coming to him like a little child is. You know, are you fully acknowledging his authority and his awesomeness? You know, this ultimately three minutes left, thank you, Donna. This awesome God who gave his only begotten Son to die for you, to love on you before you even existed in your consciousness, you're going to hesitate and you're going to hold yourself back from what he asks you to do? Do you really think you'll succeed at that? So just, he's really taught me this in a fine point over the last several months. And you know, search yourselves out. I don't know how much time there is. I expect this to go any minute. Prefer to have gone about 59 minutes ago. But whatever the time is left, whatever growth he has for you, whatever things he's asked of you, if there's anything left, just go to him. Just go to him. And try to recognize any element of yourself, any element of pride, any element of self-protection, and ask him to meet you there. Because he's not a scary God if you're trying to come to him. I wouldn't want to run away from him, though. But if you're trying to come to him, he understands that you're weak, that you can't follow through on everything that he asks you to do or even that you're willing to say yes to. Praise God, he understands that. He just wants you to be willing and compliant. Do you accept his leading? What we all are, we're supposed to be sheep. Sheep are stupid. You know, they're cute, but they're stupid, and that's why he led us to see that as a metaphor for our walk. He's our shepherd and our king. Treat him that way, and he will treat you kindly. I don't know where we're at. We just went into archive. I do not know if I have anything here. I'm going to try a button just because I want to see if it works. And probably not. It doesn't work all day or for the whole show. No, that's not working either. Okay, everybody, thank you very much. This will be an archive, and I will see if I can even end the show. God bless you.